Followed Equestria Starlight, Chapter 30, All is Lost. It's not about the weather, Spike. Rarity at Rainbow Dash's cutie mark and said this was Rainbow Dash's cottage. Something strange is going on. Promises. A promise is something that one says they will do in order to maintain and retain a trusting relationship with another. Promises are supposed to be steel-clad, providing that the pony is trustworthy. Promises are hardly that strong. In truth, promises are fragile and easily broken. I should know. I've broken more promises than I'd care to admit. I promised my friends that I would take care of them, and I managed to let Patch's unborn foals be nearly killed by radiation. I broke my promise to Violet, allowing my addiction to memory orbs to consume me in Duskhoof. I often think back to the past, to the world of yesterday, and the promises made by the Ministry Mayors to the citizens of Equestria. They too broke their promises, despite their best efforts to keep them. How many more promises would I have to break before I would learn to keep them? How much death would I need to see before I could look away and witness life? I stood over the pile of junk, sweat pouring from my brow as my horn moved pieces of trash and rubble about. It had been a day since Dry Rot had given Patch the news I'd been wanting to hear since she had told me she was pregnant. It was like some great weight had been lifted off my shoulders. Still, I felt like I needed to do something to just think. Mindless labor made for great thinking. I grunted, picking up a pile of steel and setting it in the to-use pile. The courtyard in the middle of the hospital provided for some excellent scrap, given that several sky wagons had crashed in the middle of it. Most of them were utterly unusable, but the parts themselves were just right for what I was attempting to build. The stress, the pain, the hurt of the last week alone all fell into line with my tiring work. Even with my pool of magic, I was still exhausted from lifting piece after piece of metal and rock. My mind overworked itself with the prospect of new life, of Patch's foals, and of the deaths that I had seen. I thought about what Silmetra had said, of finding my role in the world. What was my purpose? Was all I ever intended for was to bring death to those around me? That couldn't be right. Somewhere, deep down inside, I knew that it couldn't. I had a purpose after all. I had to find Spark, to end whatever her plans were for the wasteland. Discord had given me an edge there, by hiding the chart, whatever it was. I still had no idea there. As I worked, I thought about everything that I had done and still planned to do in the world. I was floundering, getting drawn into conflict after conflict like I was some Celestia forsaken wasteland heroine. Everything ended in death and heartache. And yet, out of the heartache, there was good. Time shared with friends. Love and warmth with Violet. Violet, I knew deep down I'd done her wrong, breaking my promise to her over my use of the memory orb. I wasn't honestly sure how she was going to react to it. I loved her so very much that it hurt me deeply to realize that she was right. That I was addicted to memory orbs and couldn't even keep a simple promise. Regardless, I knew that in the end, Dusk Blue wasn't truly my fault. Lilith was right. I was attempting to shoulder too much burden on myself without thinking about how my actions impacted everything else. I was giving myself too much blame, too much credit. I didn't cause the NCR to attack the Twilight Society. I knew that, somewhere. Part of me still tugged, still wanted me to blame myself, but I knew I couldn't act like that. I had to be better, much like I had told Red Death. I had to do better. It was time to stop running from my problems and start facing them. To stop blaming myself for every little piece of wasteland that tugged at my soul. In my solace, I knew that I could do it. I could push past the blame, past the self-hate. Past everything. I could do it because I had my friends to show me the path. I had to be ready to take that first step, and that step began with a very simple task. I was building a wagon. I grunted again, igniting my horn and lifting a massive metal wheel. It was heavily rusted, but it would still work for what I was wanting it for. I managed to get lucky enough to find another one of similar size and shape. I took several pieces of steel, using my magic to weld them together in a rough approximation of an open box. I panted, pulling up two large bars of some of the Skywagon carcasses to surface axles.
This can work,
I thought, grinning. This will work. I glanced around, searching for any small pieces of metal that could serve as pins to lock the wheels into the back of the makeshift wagon. A quick shuffling of my piles revealed a few tiny cylinders of steel. I grinned, carrying the metal pieces over to where I had set the wheels. My horn flared, lifting both the wheels and the pins up to the frame on the bottom of the craft. I grimaced as I inserted the first pin. It started in smoothly and I smiled. Then it fucking broke. The pin snapped off like it was a piece of bone. I growled under my breath, igniting my horn and forcing the broken pin out of the wheel. I picked up another pin and started to force it in, trying my best to insert it as carefully as I could. Everything was going well until that one also broke, in the same place no less. I snarled loudly, flaring my horn and trying another pin. The third one held, and I welded in place with a brush of magic. The pin slid easily into place on the other side, and the card hung in my magic as I gently set it down. The card sat, gleaming gently in the glimmer of my magic. I doused my horn, and the card settled under its own weight, and promptly collapsed as the wheels broke. The box bounced apart as the frame hit the ground. I roared. Everything I had collected, including the ruined wagon, came up in the grip of my magic. I repeatedly smashed it into the ground in front of me. The pieces of metal transformed from something recognizable into something completely unrecognizable. That was when I heard a cough coming from behind me. I turned my head, my manic eyes bloodshot from lack of sleep and overwork, seeing Steeljack standing there. Hitched to him was a simple two-wheeled cart from where Patch sat within its confines. She was smiling.
Where did you get that?
I managed to breathe.
Found it, Steeljack said. Intact too. What were you trying to do?
I looked down at the slack beneath my hoofs.
Nothing. It's not important,
I said, deciding that I didn't really need to explain what my goal had been. An engineer I was not, apparently. Regardless, some form of transportation had been acquired for Patch. That was all that mattered.
Patch, how are you doing? Feeling a little better, the Green Mare said. After everything that's happened, I'm still finding it a bit hard to believe that I'm having more than one foal. I'm not even sure if I'm ready for it.
I smiled softly.
You will be a fine mother, Patch, I said. Of that I have no doubts. You are a good friend and your foals will learn that from you. Did Ryrod give you a time frame on when we can leave?
He said tomorrow, Patch replied. He wants to watch me for another night to make sure that everything is working properly. He also wants to make sure I eat a proper meal.
I nodded, smiling.
Seems like you really like him, I said.
Patch grinned.
He's a great doctor, I won't deny that, she said.
We can use this to take Patch and any supplies back to Ten Pony with us, Steeljack said, motioning at the cart. Also, Sir Metra had a runner sent there to let Violet and Nixies know when we'd be back.
I flinched at Violet's name. Regardless of whatever epiphany I had worked out on my lonesome, it was still not going to spare me from admitting my transgression to my lover. Apparently, my twitch had been a little more visible because I caught Patch's attention.
Something wrong, Star,
the Green Mare said. I sighed.
No more running, I thought. No more hiding. I messed up, you two. You of all ponies deserve to know. I broke my promise to Violet over the memory orbs while Dryrod was looking at you, Patch,
I said, hanging my head.
I tried to justify it, tried to tell myself that it was necessary, but there it is.
The Green Mare smiled softly, pulling herself out of the cart and trotting over to me. She put a hoof on my shoulder and spoke.
Star, it's going to be all right, she said. What if Violet doesn't forgive me?
I said, looking down at my friend. Patch snorted in derision.
Violet not forgive you? Sweetie, Violet is yours. She always will be. You'll work past this, she said. Trust me, everything will be just fine. Just be honest with her.
I nodded. A shadow appeared overhead and I glanced up. It was Sumatra. He was coming in fast. The bat ghoul landed in the courtyard and began galloping over to us.
"Star, thanks the goddess I found you,"
he said. His voice was frantic. "What's wrong?" I asked. Symmetra's gaze narrowed as he motioned back towards the hospital.
"We've got a problem. You three need to come with me. I only pray we are not too late,"
he said. I grimaced, nodding and trotting after the bat ghoul as Steeljack and Patch hooked up to follow as well. The closer we got back to Duskhoof, I began to hear shouting coming from the market area. The entire town of ghouls appeared to be present, surrounding some sort of spectacle. I heard Dryrod's voice and Iker Sludge. Symmetra looked pensive as we pushed our way through the crowd. Iker Sludge stood at the center of it all, with two unicorn ghoul guards standing across from him. In their hoofs was none other than Red Death. The Pegasus ghoul looked down at his hoofs, saying nothing. Dryrod stood across from the Earth Pony ghoul, glaring at him.
"Let him go, Iker!" Dryrod roared. "He's of no threat to you!"
"I'm in charge, Doctor, not you,"
Iker said.
"We cannot afford to let this mad pony go free. He's an abomination."
Half of the crowd roared in response to the mayor's call.
"What in the world is going on here?" I said, making my presence known.
The crowd grew quiet as I stepped into the center of it. On the other side, Lilith and Sunshine watched carefully.
"What have you done, Mayor Sludge?"
"I've done what was necessary to protect my ponies here, Ministry Mayor. It's none of your concern,"
Iker replied.
"Now I would appreciate if you would take your things and leave. I will take care of this monster."
"Red Death is not a monster," I said harshly. "He's trying to save you all. Don't you see that?"
Iker snarled.
"He's building an army,"
he ceased, baring his teeth at me.
"I'm the mayor. It's my job to protect this town, and what good would I be doing if I let some thing build up a fucking army of ferals right under my nose, huh?"
I grimaced, lifting a hoof to my forehead.
"Luna, give me strength," I said before glaring at the Earth Pony ghoul again. "Are you really so short-sighted? Did you not see the research that he was doing? He was trying to cure ghoulism."
"Of course I didn't see it,"
Dryrod said.
"They burned it when they captured him."
"What?"
I said.
"How did they even get to him?"
"Because I fucked up,"
the old unicorn ghoul replied.
"I led them back to Red. His defenses were down. It's my fault I got him."
"Yes, we greatly appreciate your assistance, Doctor,"
Iker said.
"Now then, all of you, go back to your homes. We will take care of the treacherous beast you see before you."
The crowd didn't move a single inch. They were too focused on me, on what I was going to say next.
"Idiot!"
I shouted.
"You burned the only chance that you had at keeping yourself from going feral, of saving those who have already gone. I just can't fucking believe it."
"I can,"
Dryrod said.
"You never did think too highly of Red, did you, Sludge?"
"He killed Face, and not to mention the research he's been doing. Do you really believe he's trying to cure ghouls?"
Iker Sludge said angrily. I grimaced. I had to do something to defuse this whole situation. I carefully nodded across the room at Sunshine and Lilith. They glanced over at Iker and nodded in return as he began to move into place.
"Yes, I do. I saw it, Sludge. He was close to finishing something that would have made feralism a thing of the past,"
Dryrod snarled.
"More likely a way to control his feral army,"
Iker replied.
"Now, unless you are planning on stopping me, I have business to attend to. Gentle Colts, take the traitor to the jail."
He turned towards the two guards holding the Pegasus ghoul. The guards set their hoofs up, the massive barrel of the bitch keeping their attention while a sunny green tangle of vines held them rooted to the ground. Sunshine had a sharp grin on her face as her horn flared, releasing Red Death from his bonds. The Pegasus ghoul fell to his hoofs, rubbing his sides from where the guards had held him. Still, he remained silent. Iker Sludge growled, stepping forward.
"I'm sorry, dear mayor, but I am afraid I cannot let you do this,"
a voice said as Symmetra landed behind the Earth Pony ghoul, grabbing a hold of him. The bat ghoul looked at me, smiling.
"Let me go! I will have your head for this, Symmetra!"
Iker roared. I stepped forward into his line of sight.
No, you won't, I said. I agree with Dry Rot. You've made a big mistake here, Sludge. You may have just single-hoofedly stopped medical progress that could have saved ghouls all across the wasteland. Your hate has blinded you.
I'm protecting the welfare of the ghouls under my care,
Ikora replied, struggling against Sumetra's hold.
You're all insane!
You're pursuing insanity, Iker,
Dry Rot said.
Stop, Rot, Red Death said suddenly. It's over.
The unicorn ghoul grimaced as he turned towards his friend.
No, old friend, you deserve to be treated better than this,
he said, returning his attention to Iker, Sludge and Sumetra.
Sumetra, what do you plan to do with him?
Lock him up, I interjected. No pony should have to die for this. Let Iker Sludge ponder what he's done.
The others nodded. The crowd around us was deathly silent as they watched. It was almost as if they were unsure who they would be rooting for.
I agree with Star, Sumetra said. Iker Sludge, you are hereby placed under arrest. May Luna show you her grace and mercy.
He moved to push the other ghoul forward when Iker Sludge growled and bucked Sumetra, breaking his hold. The Earth Pony ghoul kicked back, knocking Sumetra to the ground. Time seemed to slow down as we moved to intercept Iker, the ghoul reaching into his pockets and pulling out an ancient-looking pistol with his teeth. He took aim and fired.
Blam, blam, blam!
My eyes widened as I stopped cold in my tracks. Red Death had jumped in the way, taking with the full force of the bullets. The Pegasus ghoul went soaring through the air, sliding across the ground as his wet and slimy lifeblood spilled out upon it. The crowd parted as he lay there, unmoving. I turned back, growling as Sumetra regained his hoofing. Ikor Sludge wildly pointed the gun around, but was too slow to avoid Sumetra's hoof striking him against the neck. The Earth Pony ghoul fell to the ground, the pistol clattering away from his grip. Immediately the crowd erupted into a frenzy, with the ghouls shouting loudly for blood.
Red!
Dryrod yelled, shoving his way through the others as he made his way to his friend. He dropped to his haunches, placing a hoof on the Pegasus ghoul's shoulders. I grimaced and looked over to Sumetra, who stood over Iker Sludge.
You have this under control, I said.
The bat ghoul nodded, turning to address the crowd.
All of you disperse. There's nothing to see here. Return to your homes and I promise once this is all sorted out that we will continue forward. I will see to it. Now go!
He shouted. The crowd, unsure at first of what to do about the bat pony's challenge, quickly decided to heed his words. Soon we were left alone in the lobby. I trotted over to Dry Rot.
Is he?
I asked hesitantly. Dry Rot shook his head.
He's barely there. Come on, Red, talk to me. Let me know you're all right,
he said, shaking his friend.
Sorry, I had to do it. I couldn't stand watching this tear apart our town,
he managed to choke out.
I'm truly sorry, old friend.
His head lolled to the side and he moved no more. I sighed, placing a hoof on Dryrod's shoulder.
Damn Iker,
he said, pushing me off and standing. He turned to Sumetra.
Sumetra, move out of the way! That fucker doesn't deserve to live!
I grimaced, putting myself in between the two.
No, I said. My advice still stands, Dryrod. Iker Sludge should be imprisoned for the things he has done. If we allow ourselves to fall to his level, to murder him, we would be just as horrible, just as short-sighted. We must do better.
Dryrod snarled and lifted his hoof, but stopped and sighed.
You're right. You're right,
he said.
I want with all of my black heart to kill him right now.
You're a doctor, I said. You're here to preserve life, not to take it away.
Dryrod nodded. I looked over at Sumetra.
Do you have somewhere safe for him?
The bat ghoul nodded silently as he began to work on binding the former mayor.
I don't suppose you hold elections here for who gets to be the next mayor?
I will do it,
Sumetra said softly as he finished the bindings. He slung the unconscious ghoul over his back.
I will shoulder the burden. After all, if I had been strong enough, then Red would still be alive.
Sumetra,
I said quietly, trotting over to him.
This isn't your fault. It happened. I get that now. I know why I felt like everything was my fault. It was because I took too much of the burden and lost my purpose. Maybe your purpose now is to lead this community, not because you have to, but because you can.
The Batghoul nodded, pondering my thoughts for a brief moment. He was about to say something when a rumbling noise caught our attention. I glanced around. None of the others had noticed it yet.
"You hear that?" Sir Metra said.
I nodded, a stray thought filling my mind.
Guys, if Red is dead, then who's controlling the ghouls he was studying?
I said aloud. Dryrod's eyes widened.
Oh, fuck!
He said. I turned my head towards the old ghoul, narrowing my gaze at him.
What do you mean, oh, fuck?
I asked.
I mean, Red's tech. It works a lot like a sonic emitter. Lights the ferrets into a bit of a haze. The remote control was... it was on him.
Rod replied, searching over the Pegasus ghoul's body. He lifted something square-shaped out of Red's front pocket and lifted it up. It was a remote control device, and it was destroyed, a bullet hole dead center in the hoof-made face of the unit. My eyes widened.
Every pony, fall back!
I shouted. The others didn't have a chance to respond before a slobbering feral ghoul burst through the main lobby doors leading into the hospital's tunnels. The collar around his neck was blinking. Howling in mindless rage, the ghoul charged into the center of the room, right at Steeljack and Patch.
Oh, no you don't,
Steeljack said, his visor sliding down. The armor-clad earth pony disconnected himself from the cart and wheeled about, delivering a buck to the skull of the ghoul that crushed its head in a second. The ghoul fell to the ground in a heap. I grimaced. Stargazer and most of our gear was back in our room. The only ones that could really fight were Lilith, Sunshine, and Steeljack. I glanced over at the armored stallion.
Steeljack, get Patch out of here. Take Dryrod with you. We'll try and barricade these doors from here,
I said. Steeljack nodded, hooking back up to the tiny cart. Patch gave me a look, but nodded in understanding. I knew deep down that she knew the score.
Habandak!
The green mare called out. The grizzled old stallion ghoul grimaced, but jumped on anyways as Steeljack tore out of the lobby to safety. Rasping and sucking sounds from the hall beyond indicated that we were about to have a whole lot of party guests and I didn't have any cake.
Sunshine, see what you can do about these doors,
I said. The pink mare nodded, her horn igniting brilliantly as a mass of vines appeared, slithering up the doors and covering them completely. She panted as she let the spell drop.
That should,
she started to say before the ghouls on the other side of the barricade crashed into it. Limbs and snarls found their way through the cracks of the vines, but nothing managed to get through.
That isn't going to hold them for very long, Lilith said. They're royally pissed at us, and they won't stop for nothing.
The collars, Symmetra said. They're going haywire. Without a signal from Red Death's remote control device, they're causing the ferals pain. There's gotta be some sort of failsafe shutdown.
I glanced down at the body of Red Death, sighing.
All right, so what do we need to do then?
I said. Symmetra plopped down next to Red Death's body, searching through the bags and clothes he had been wearing. Nothing other than the damaged remote control that Dryrod had found.
Well, unless there's some sort of backup remote control or a failsafe device, we're pretty fucked, he said.
A groan came from the room as we realized that Iker Sludge was starting to wake up. The former mayor glared daggers up at me and the others. Symmetra stood, trotting over to him.
Iker, when you captured Red, was there any other device that he had in his office? Something that could have been used to reset the collars? Fuck you!
Iker spat.
You took away everything! You wanted that monster to finish building his army? You're all fucking crazy!
Iker, listen to him! I said. The failsafe device, where is it? When you killed Red, the feral ghouls started in a frenzy. We need to stop them!
Tough shit, Iker replied, laughing. You all turned on me, so it only seems fair.
I sighed, looking over at Symmetra.
Looks like we're not getting much out of him, I said. Any ideas?
Just one. I could use my screech to disable the collars themselves,
the Bat Ghoul said.
By applying it directly to their collars, it would act as an EMP pulse.
My eyes widened.
But that would mean... You can't, Symmetra,
I cried. The Bat Ghoul's bright blue eyes flared.
It's our only option. We have to protect the town,
he said.
You hold the fort here. I'll disable the collars. Hopefully it will leave the ferals in a fresh state of ignorance. If we're lucky, they'll leave us alone.
The bat ghoul strode past me towards the vines blocking the doors. The ghouls behind were still snapping and snarling, but no longer trying to force their way through.
Sunshine, give me an opening.
The pink mare looked up at me for guidance, and I reluctantly nodded. Sunshine's horn flared and the vines dissipated, revealing a very confused hallway of ghouls. Symmetra yawned and grinned.
Come on, then,
he challenged as he flapped his wings and soared into the hallway. My hoofs went to my ears immediately as the bat ghoul landed next to his first target, screeching wildly. The collar around the feral's neck began to blink faster before going dark and falling off to the ground. The feral fell back into the crowd, where it was ripped apart by its own army. I blinked, my mind making the connections that were playing out in front of me.
Symmetra, they're only attacking targets that don't emit the signal from the collars,
I shouted. The bat ghoul nodded, turning to screech loudly at two more ghouls. The force of the screech tore the collars from their necks as the other ghouls tore into them. Symmetra grimaced as he ducked underneath a slash from a nearby feral.
There's too many, he shouted back. I'm going to have to lead them away from the town. Even if I manage to hit them all, they'll still attack you.
I stomped a hoof angrily.
You dummy, I can't let you do that,
I called. Symmetra grinned.
Don't worry, I can handle myself, he said. Just seal up the doorway, I'll be right back.
I sighed, nodding at Sunshine again. The pink mare's horn lit up again and the vines began to cover the doorway. I shook my head, groaning.
Damn it, I'm gonna regret this,
I muttered as I looked up and charged past the vines before the others could say a thing. The closing vines licked at my tail, but I made it past them and continued forward into the fray. Symmetra's eyes widened.
Star, what are you?
He started to say. I waved a hoof.
No time, fly!
I cried out as I spread my wings, taking off like a rocket past the bat ghoul. Symmetra leapt into the air and followed suit, the feral ghouls following behind us like a train. We twisted and turned through the hospital's dead halls, the rasping and sucking sounds getting louder and louder. I grimaced. We couldn't keep this up for very long. The ghouls would eventually get tired of us and go towards easier prey. An idea flittered through my mind. I tacked in, landing on my hoofs and screeching to a halt. Symmetra stopped next to me and perked his ears.
I'd say we got their attention, he said. Now what?
We need to get them all into one place, the courtyard,
I said, pointing out the window nearest to us. The courtyard I'd spent all morning in was clearly visible through the dirty smudges of the glass.
What are you planning?
Symmetra said. I grinned widely.
What goes up must come down,
I said, nudging at the window. It refused to open, so I used my lockpick. The window frame and a large chunk of wall fell outside.
Here you go. I'll get them to follow me.
The bat ghoul grimaced but nodded and dove towards the courtyard, which in reality was only a floor below us. The ghouls rounded the corner, filling every available amount of space in the tiny hallway. I waved my hoofs and jumped up and down.
Hey, uglies, come and get me!
I leapt out through the window, hoping the ruse would work. Sure enough, moments after I spread my wings and glided down to meet Symmetra, the first feral jumped out of the window after me, hitting the ground with a sickening splat. More ghouls poured forth from the opening, hissing and snarling as they each hit the ground.
What goes up must come down, huh?
Symmetra said, rolling his eyes.
You come up with that all by yourself?
I giggled a bit.
I thought it was kind of funny,
I said, narrowing my gaze at the bat ghoul.
I'm sorry that this had to happen, though. I wish they could have been saved, like Red wanted.
Unfortunately, without his research or a way to control them, we had no choice, Star,
Symmetra replied.
Believe me, I bear no ill will in this decision.
The last of the ghouls dropped out of the window, growling until it hit the ground hard, its brains spilling out onto the pavement. I sighed.
Let's get back to the others, I said. We have some cleaning up to do.
The aftermath of the ghoul attack had left many of the residents of the town scared. Symmetra had done his best to calm the populace, but was meeting resistance from a very few vocal ghouls who believed that Iker Sludge was right and should be set free. Times were going to be rough for the small town, but I believed that with Dr. Rod at his side, the bat ghoul would make it work and they would survive. Sunshine gave the two some names of ponies to talk to at Tenpony to see if the tower would be interested in trade of medicine and the like, while Patch provided Dr. Rod with some contacts in the NCR to provide protection to the city if they so desired it. After spending one more evening with the ghouls of Duskhoof, it was time to say goodbye. We all knew it was time to leave, and so on the morning after we collected our things and made our way to the entrance of the hospital, escorted by Dry Rod and Silmetra.
"I regret what happened here, Ministry Mayor,"
Dry Rod said. The old unicorn ghoul had escorted us along with Silmetra to Duskhoof's entrance.
"Arca Sludge will rot for the damage his actions have caused."
"I do too,"
I said softly, looking away for a moment.
"I do too."
Dry Rod cracked a grin, his rotted teeth showing through his mottled skin.
"Chin up there,"
he said.
"You got no need to cry for old ghouls like me."
"You're right about that, I suppose,"
I said.
"Still, for what it's worth, I'm sorry about what happened to Red."
"Thank you,"
the old ghoul replied. He stepped up to Steeljack and Patch, who were standing just to my side.
"Little lady, you take care of those faults now, and take care of yourself. Eat right and take that medicine I gave you, and you should be right as rain."
"I will. Thank you again, Doctor,"
Patch said. Steeljack nodded silently, causing Dry Rod to chuckle a bit. The ghoul placed his hoof on Steeljack's shoulder.
"And you, take good care of Val. Make sure she does all the things I told her to do. I'm counting on you,"
he said. Steeljack smiled.
"Sure,"
he said. I glanced over at Symmetra. The bat ghoul nodded slightly.
"Thank you again, Ministry Mayor,"
he said.
"Without your assistance, we wouldn't have Dr. Rod back."
"You're welcome, Symmetra," I said. "You stay safe, all right?"
"Trying times are ahead of us all," Symmetra replied softly. "The supporters of Ichor Sludge's decision have quieted down for now, but I do not think they will stay that way. They will try something rash."
"Well, take a page out of my book, then. Do something rash right back," I said, grinning. "Seriously, you will be fine, Mayor."
The Bat Ghoul smiled and I looked at the others.
"On that note, I think it's time we get going. We have some place we need to be."
"Fair winds and safe travels, then, to all of you,"
the Bat Ghoul said. I smiled as we headed back into the Manhattan wasteland. The dreary gray landscape greeted us like old friends as we moved along at a brisk pace. Sunshine took point, the pink mare keeping a close eye on our surroundings as I picked up the rear. Steeljack pulled Patch's wagon forward while Lilith flew overhead. Within several hours, the spire of Tenpony Tower came into view without any issues to show for the journey. A mere hour later, we had made our way up to the Lunar Line. We trotted down the line, waving to the bored-looking guards. They grumbled as they motioned for us to pass. I chuckled. We entered the guard station, checking our weaponry with the even more bored-looking guards there, and trotted into Tenpony Tower proper. The main lobby was filled with the normal hustle and bustle of the hoity-toity wasteland elite, but new and different was the presence of off-duty NCR soldiers. I smiled softly, scanning the crowd for the only mare that I truly cared about. A flash of green caught my eye and I grinned widely as I focused on Violet. She was at the far end of the main lobby, her horn alit. I noticed she was in the makeshift hospital that the NCR had set up. I trotted along, finding my way to her side. I tapped her slightly on the side.
"Hey, beautiful," I said.
Violet turned, her eyes widening. Her horn's glow dissipated, dropping the case she had been holding with her magic. My horn flared in an instant, grabbing a hold of it and setting it gently onto the ground.
"Don't go dropping stuff on my account. Star!"
My love cried out, jumping at me and wrapping her forelegs around my neck. I leaned into her embrace, smiling softly.
"I missed you,"
I said. Violet pulled back, tears formed in her eyes.
"I missed you too," she said. Is Patch all right?"
I grinned.
"See for yourself,"
I replied, motioning to the ponies behind me. Violet's gaze went past me, latching onto the other green mare, who waved.
"Patch!"
Violet shouted, pushing me to the side and rushing over to the wagon-ridden Earth pony. I grumbled, but turned and smiled nonetheless.
"You're right,"
Pat grinned sheepishly.
"Yeah, I'm doing good,"
she said.
"Clean bill of health, actually."
Violet cocked her head.
What about, you know, the foal?
She asked. Patch grinned.
Foals, the green mare said. I'm gonna have two foals, Violet.
Violet's eyes widened as she reached out and grabbed the mare into a spine-crushing hug.
That's amazing, she exclaimed.
Patch smiled in return and patted her friend on the back. Violet broke the embrace and looked back at me.
See, I told you that I'd see that she was okay, I said.
I glanced about the entrance to the makeshift hospital.
So, what have you been up to since we left?
Nixis and I have been helping out wherever we can. The hospital needed some extra help, and since I know some healing spells, I figured it would be the best place for me, Violet said. I nodded, feeling nothing but proud of my mare friend. I cringed at the fact that I was going to have to tell her about the memory orb, but I was resolved to be honest with her about it. Somewhere in the back of my mind, a little orange pony told me I was doing good.
Where is Nixis anyways? I'd have figured he'd be with you,
Steeljack said.
I've been watching and waiting,
a lumbering voice said from behind us. Nixis appeared out of nowhere, grinning toothily. His yellow eyes flashed in the light.
It is good to see you all again, and I am pleased to see you well, Patch.
Thanks, Nixis. It's good to be here, Patch replied. But we're not here for long, right?
All eyes turned onto me. I chuckled hesitantly.
Patch is correct. We have a date with a certain alicorn, I said. We may have averted disaster here, but if we don't stop Sparks, then we'll have bigger problems on our hoofs.
If I may, Star, I may be able to offer assistance there. We shouldn't be traveling into Everfree unprepared,
Nixis said.
We should make for my hometown, Ponyville. The Hellhounds there can provide us with supplies to be able to make the journey.
Are you certain that we would be welcome there?
I asked, raising an eyebrow.
While most Hellhounds are still hesitant to interact with ponies, there are more of my kind that feel the only way we are to survive is to coexist,
Nixis replied.
While I am with you, I will promise you that no harm will come to you.
It's decided then, I said. We will stay in Tenpony one more evening and then make our way towards Ponyville in the morning.
Violet raised a hoof.
Yes, dear. I know this is something insensitive to ask, but what about Patch?
She said, looking over at the green mare.
No offense, but you should be staying off your hoofs.
Before I could say anything, Patch nodded.
And you'd probably be right, but I can't let you guys do this on your own. I'll be fine. I'm only pregnant after all, and despite what Dryrod said, I should be more than a few months off, she said. So long as I eat well and take my medication, I should be able to pull my own.
Violet nodded.
All right, she said. I just wanted to make sure. It's not like we're going to be surrounded by doctors in the middle of the Everfree Forest.
I smiled.
Well, if it's all the same to you, I'd like to get some rest, I said. The rest of you takes a night off. We've got a long journey ahead of us.
I turned, heading towards the elevator, feeling the familiar comfort of my lover bounding after me. We made our way to our room, finding it just as dirty and decrepit as we had left it. Plopping down upon the bedroll, I took a deep breath as I set my bags off to the side. Violet rested next to me. I sighed, glancing over at her. I had to tell her, now rather than later.
Violet,
I said softly. My love glanced up at me. I bit my lip.
I have something that I need to tell you.
What is it, sweetie? Violet asked, looking very concerned.
I
started to say. I considered delaying, trying to push it off like it was nothing, but I knew that I couldn't do that. I had to own up to my mistakes, to do better.
I messed up, Violet. I made a stupid, stupid mistake.
Whatever you did, honey, it's all right, my love replied softly. I closed my eyes.
I watched the memory up, Violet. I broke my promise,
I said. I kept my eyes closed, not daring to open them for 1 second. I heard Violet shift next to me. I was scared, scared that I had really messed things up, but elated to have finally gotten it off my chest. Violet was silent, deathly silent. I wished, I prayed for something to end the silence. Then I suddenly felt a pair of legs wrap themselves around my neck. My eyes flew open and I looked down to see Violet, eyes closed and nuzzling my neck. Tears flowed freely from her eyes.
Violet?
I stuttered.
Star,
she choked out.
It's okay, sweetheart. It's okay. But I
tried to say. Violet tightened her embrace before pulling back and looking me in the eyes. Her brilliant green eyes were tinged with red from her tears. She smiled softly at me.
Sweetheart, it's all right. Did you really think I'd be mad at you? She said.
I nodded mutely. Violet chuckled.
Star, you're so silly. I kind of expected you to view it while you were away. You did?
I said.
Star, addiction is a difficult thing to deal with. I'm not expecting you to get over it immediately, my love said. And to be honest, most addictions are to chems, not things like memory orbs. I honestly have no idea how to treat this.
I don't know what to say, Violet. I'm so messed up I don't know what to do with myself, I said. But I think I know how to start. I have to stop blaming myself for everything, Violet.
Wise choice, Violet said, resting her head against my neck. Star, you know I love you very much, and I will always, always be there for you.
I know, and I love you so, so much, I said softly. I've got to make things right again, and I'm going to do my best to keep this under control. But I can't promise that I won't fall back into the same habits.
Violet smiled, kissing me on the neck.
Sweetie, you won't be alone in this. We're all here for you, and we'll all be there for you, Violet said. Everything will be all right. Once we find Spark, I'm moving to someplace warm and sunny and never leaving, I deadpanned, sighing. But thank you, Violet.
You're welcome, sweetie. Now get some sleep.
Like you said, we have a long journey ahead of us, Violet said.
I nodded, lowering my head next to hers. Sleep came easy, and soon I drifted off to dreamland. I looked up and groaned. It was a library yet again. I didn't want to be here, not right now. Deciding that I didn't really have much of a choice but to go in, I stood and pushed open the door. Trotting inside, I noticed that the library was fairly bare. Empty shelves stood thick with dust and books lay under fluffy pillows of age. Standing at the far end of the library's main floor was Twilight. She was looking out the window, her wings bristling with anticipation. She turned, her gaze boring into my very soul.
"Hello, Star," she said curtly. "Why don't you take a seat?"
She motioned at the floor. I looked down, seeing the image of a very familiar cutie mark burned into the wood. I slipped down to my haunches while Twilight stood above me.
"So what is it now, Twilight? Here to tell me about some grand schemes that you messed up? Or about how I'm not doing my job to find Spark?"
I said, snorting. Twilight said nothing. I glanced up at her, her gaze not leaving me as she paced back and forth.
"What? What did I do?"
"What did you do?"
"You did something incredibly stupid, Star. That little stunt you pulled with Dusk Blue. Do you remember that?"
she said. I blinked, my mind running back to what I had done to trick the lunatic unicorn. I narrowed my gaze at Twilight.
"I do remember that," I said. "Why?"
"Do you remember what you felt at the end of your little trick?"
Twilight snarled. I grimaced, nodding. I remembered the feeling of being watched, of something waking up.
"Good, because now that you've woken them up, you're going to have to put them back to sleep." "Wait, who am I putting back to sleep?"
I said.
"What exactly happened?"
"You used magic that is very raw and unbridled, and you used it as a carnival trick,"
Twilight said.
"You used friendship, Star. Your little stunt may have cost us everything. Waking up the other elements was the last thing I wanted to have happen."
I blinked.
"I woke up the other elements? How the hell did I do that?"
I asked. Twilight grimaced.
"Your connection to Spark, to me, it's what caught them. So when you used your connection to your friends to create some splashy display, it woke them. That's the magic they respond to, and thanks to the imprint that Spark left on you, it was like ringing a dinner bell in their ears,"
the Lavender Alicorn said.
"This changes everything. So what do we do now? I mean, we're going to be heading to find Spark. This got hit your charts, so we have time,"
I said. Twilight growled under her breath.
"That monster hit the one weapon that would seal Spark away for good. That chart is necessary. You will need to find it before you face her,"
Twilight said.
You already have one half of it.
I do? I said, blinking and feeling more and more confused by the second.
The memory that was with the others from Tenpony Tower. The one where we first met, or rather when you first met the other me, she said.
I shook my head.
I don't remember that, and what do you mean, other me?
I said.
Speak Equestrian, filly.
Twilight's gaze narrowed at me.
Of course I'd have set a memory wipe spell on that. Do you remember when you first met Pride?
The mare said. I nodded.
It was at that time we first met. The twilight you met was a facet of my connection to you, another me, so to speak. The chart is embedded in the memory orb, you see. That's why it was able to break Spark when she took over your body.
I see, I said simply.
Go on.
Twilight nodded.
Finding the other half of the chart is imperative, she said. Without it, we won't be able to seal Spark away. But how the heck am I supposed to find it? Discord hid it, remember? He isn't going to tell me where it is,
I said. Twilight grinned.
Discord will have most likely hit the chart in plain sight, right in the Everfree Forest where Spark would not find it, but would be easy for us to find if we looked hard enough. Thankfully, I have just the means to provide the tools to find it, she said. I can enchant the existing half to seek out the other. It will glow warm and blink in proximity to the chart. Once you've joined the two together, then you can seal Spark with it. What about the other elements? You said they changed things, I said.
Twilight grimaced again.
In the physical realm, the other elements will try to stop you. Spark will seek to reunite with them. But without the chart, Spark will not be able to transcend her form and put her plans into play, even with the additional strength of the other elements, she said. In short, we remove Spark from the equation and it will send the other elements back to sleep like they should be. Do you mean to say that the elements, they'll have mortal forms?
I said, blinking. Twilight nodded.
They're not perfect, but they will have physical bodies. They're more or less golems, filled with the minds and memories of their avatars,
the mare said.
I would expect them to be dangerous and powerful.
I blinked again. Golems filled with the powers of the elements of harmony? Did that make Lucky the golem with the power of magic? If that was the case, what did that make me? I raised an eyebrow, looking up at Twilight.
Twilight?
I said. The mare glanced back at me, a soft smile emerging on her face.
There's something I want to ask if you know.
Go on, Twilight said. I took a deep breath.
Twilight, you are part of her, the goddess. I have to know, I said, trying to organize my thoughts to ask this question. What was I? Before her, before Unity. What was I like? I don't remember. This connection, it's eclipsed any memories I thought I had. I need to know.
I see, Twilight said shakily, taking a few moments to think before she replied.
I'm sorry, Star. I wish I had an answer for you, but I just don't know the answer to that.
She smirked curiously. I narrowed my gaze at her.
She knows something, I thought. Otherwise, why would she be so hesitant to answer? It doesn't make any sense. Oh, I just assumed you know, I said. Sorry, again, for the elements.
Twilight smiled again, nodding.
Don't worry, Star, this will be all over soon. Once Spark is dealt with, this can end,
she said, smiling widely.
So, let me get this straight, Lilith said as we trotted down the lunar line. The spirits of the other elements of harmony have awoken from their centuries-old slumber, taken physical form, and are going to try and kill us. Do you have any idea how ridiculous that sounds?
I do, I replied. But I also know that if Twilight is right, and she has been so far, then they pose a very real threat.
We passed by the two bored-looking guards down at the station, smiling at them. They snapped to attention, making me chuckle slightly. After putting our affairs in order with Tenpony Tower, we had left the hoity-toity elite of the Wasteland and the Twilight Society for what I hoped was the last time. I certainly didn't desire to return here, not after what the Society had put us all through in the past week.
I agree, Violet said. We need to be prepared for anything to happen.
I smiled softly at my mare friend, nodding. The night before had been mentally exhausting for me, laying all my fears at Violet's hoofs. I felt better than I ever had before, though.
I felt ready to move forward. I was better and I was going to be a better mare in the long run for it. Deep in the back of my mind, however, my question to Twilight still tugged at me. Was I just another golem filled with the spirit of the element of magic? If that was the case, how did I ever have my own mind, my own thoughts, my own feelings? I didn't know. I wasn't sure I wanted to know. After what felt like ages, we finally reached the edge of Manhattan. I glanced back and grimaced. So much had happened while we were there, and yet it felt like we had gained much more than we had expected. Sunshine had joined our motley crew of wastelanders, Discord had been free to work his madness upon the world, and the NCR and Twilight Society were making steps towards a stronger future together.
Star, you coming?
I heard Violet say. I nodded, trotting after the others and smiling. Steeljack was still pulling Patch with that card they had found. I grimaced every time I looked at it, remembering my own failed attempts at building such a device to carry our friend. Still, they looked happy. Patch was busy regaling Nixies with tales of her examinations from Dry Rot. Nixies lopped along with rapt attention to the green mare, chuckling at the jokes the old unicorn ghoul had told her. Lilith flew overhead, keeping an eye on the skies above and the landscape before us, while Sunshine and Violet trotted on either side of the cart, remaining vigilant against any possible threats. The rolling gray hills of the equestrian wasteland seemed to go on forever, making for a very boring march across them. We broke later that night for camp, making our final stop in an abandoned way station. My pipback indicated that we still had 2 to 3 days to go until we were close to Ponyville. I sighed, sitting up against the back wall of the station's main office while the others set up a fire to cook with. Deciding to get some fresh air, I stood and made my way to the roof of the tiny one-room shack. The moon had just begun to roll up into the sky, making for a rather peaceful night, if one could call any night in the wasteland peaceful. With the moon in sight, I closed my eyes, imagining that I could still see its wonder in my mind's eye. I took a deep breath, attempting to reconnect with the skills that Envy had tried to teach me. I had fallen out of practice in the last week, thanks to the mental state I was in, and I honestly didn't expect to get anywhere with my meditation. I had failed in my efforts to reach any sorts of enlightenment state before, and I wasn't sure I would ever be able to do so. Still, it gave me something to think about, something to focus on. I struggled to clear my mind, but every time I managed to get rid of any mental baggage about Spark, about Twilight, about myself, kept creeping up. How did Envy do this? Life was tough, and I had no idea how any pony could let go of their thoughts so easily. I sighed as I sat there for what felt like hours. A quick peek at my pipback revealed it had only been 5 minutes. I groaned loudly.
I'm never going to get this, I said aloud. Never going to get what?
I heard a voice from behind me. I turned my head, seeing Patch standing there. I smiled, motioning for her to join me. The green mare trotted up and sat next to me.
Meditating, I said. I'm terrible at it. I've tried hard to learn, but it seems like every time I sit down to do it, I can't.
Patch nodded.
What are you doing up here?
I just wanted to look at the moon, she said softly. It's a beautiful night out. Sometimes I think we just don't take enough time to realize that there is still beauty in this world.
Yeah,
I said, looking up with her at the silvery orb in the sky.
Even after 200 years without being tended to by an immortal princess, the sky still tends to be pretty amazing.
Star?
Patch said. I glanced over at her, smiling.
Yes, Patch,
I replied. The green mare sighed and began to speak.
I wanted to ask you something,
she started to say.
Well, will you be the godmother of my foals?
I blinked, my eyes wide.
You want me to be their... what?
I said.
Godmother, Patch said. You'd be like their auntie, it's just... I've been thinking a lot about this since we found out from Dry Rot, and there's no pony else that I'd rather have than you. You've done so much for Steeljack and I after all.
I looked down at my hoofs and took a deep breath.
Oh boy,
I said, panting before putting on a smile for my friend.
I think I would like that, Patch. I would be honored to accept that role.
Patch lit up, jumping up and grabbing me in a fierce hug.
Oh, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you,
she said.
I just know that they'll love you to death. I have a very good feeling about it.
Do you know? I said, smirking. Patch nodded.
Dr. Rod said that I might feel some things from the unicorn, something to do with magic.
She said before going deathly silent. When she spoke next, it was in a whisper.
Don't say anything to Steely, but I'm still a little scared about all of this. I've never been a mom before. I don't know the first thing to do, but I know that I won't let them grow up in this world alone. They're going to need friends, and who better than the friends I already have, right?
A wise statement indeed, Patch, I said, closing my eyes. I think perhaps, though, an even wiser statement is to get some rest, as it were.
Patch giggled.
Yeah, you're right. Sleep sounds pretty good, she said, standing. You coming?
In a minute or two, I want to try again, I said. Meditation, remember?
Patch grinned.
All right, see you inside then, she said, disappearing from view.
I turned back to the moon, thinking about what had just happened. Patch wanted me to be her false godmother. I smelled softly and closed my eyes. Instead of trying to empty my mind, I instead filled it with the images and thoughts of my friends. Images of Violet, of Steeljack and Patch, of Lilith, Nixies, and even Sunshine flowed through me. I sighed, breathing deeply and drinking of my friends and the love I held for each and every one of them. My mind filled to the brim, overflowing with every memory I ever had of the ones closest to me, and I realized that this was what I needed most. I realized that envy was wrong. Zebras connected to the natural forces of the universe, but ponies connected to each other. The underlying force of the universe wasn't nature, but friendship. It made sense to me now. Why I couldn't meditate like a zebra. It wasn't natural for me. I almost mourned the fact that I'd never be good at it, but I realized I didn't care. I smiled amidst my meditation, feeling happy. I had friends who cared for me and would do anything to help me. I opened my eyes and stood, gazing at the moon once more. It shone in the sky like a diamond, gleaming in a vitreal sea of blue. I turned back to the stairs heading down into the station and trotted down, rejoining my friends. I smiled brightly, letting their words heal me, letting their emotions fill me. I flopped down next to Violet and fell asleep easier that night, easier than I ever had in my entire life.